The scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have together once again to come together and study your word together and lift up our voice in song together in praise and worship to you. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful book that you've given to us and for the instruction that we find. And we just thank you also for not leaving us alone with the book, but also giving us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to give us enlightenment and to give us strength, to give us the power to actually take the words from the page and to put them into practice into our life. Father, we just pray for that process to transpire once again as we look into your word together. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen. There are two friends, Pete and Ken, saw each other for the first time after the new year. And Pete asked Ken for a cigarette. They were both smokers. And Ken says, "Well, hey, wait a minute. I thought you made a New Year's resolution to quit smoking." You know, a lot of people do take that opportunity at that time of year, this time of year, to make resolutions to make their life healthier. And for some, it's to quit smoking. And Pete said, "Yeah, that's true, but I'm implementing it in stages, and right now I'm at stage one." Ken says, I don't understand what you mean by that. What is stage one?" And he says, "Well, stage one is I just quit buying them. I'm making a New Year's resolution to try to be healthier myself, to drink less Dr. Pepper. So if I come up to you and ask for a Dr. Pepper..." Now you know why. I'm just cutting back on how many of them I buy, not necessarily how many of them I drink. It is a new year. The new year's upon us. Maybe you made some New Year's resolutions also. It's not a bad idea to take this opportunity at this time of year to make resolutions. Every year, they put out the list of top 10 resolutions from a survey of people. And I have the ones from last year. I think I presented to you last year, the ones from the previous year. It seems always year to year that they're pretty much the same top 10 resolutions, just in a different order. The priority for them seems to change. This year, number 10, get better organized. You know, last year, that one was much higher on the list. I wonder if it's all these smart devices that everybody's getting on board with, helping you be more organized. I don't know. Just surmising. Number 9, help others more. Now, again, this is a top 10 from last year. I don't know what it was this year. We probably won't know till, you know, way down the road what people's New Year's resolutions were for this year. But for last year, it was help others more. Number 8, learn something new. Number 7, pay down the total debt. Number 6, quit drinking. Number 5, enjoy life more. Number 4, quit smoking. There's that one. You want to take a guess at the top three? What's that? Lose weight, number 3. Anybody else? Exercise more, number 2. And number 1 this year, or for the past year, spend more time with friends and family. Now, last year, that one was much lower down on the list. I wonder again if this age of technology has affected that one. Because we seem to spend a lot of time on our devices, but not necessarily a lot of time with the people in our life. You see, spending time on the device is not the same thing as spending time with people. I think we're getting further and further apart in that regard. Spend more time with friends and family. I think that's a good one. But you notice, every year this happens. The top 10, when we look at them, they really have nothing to do with spiritual development. Now realize that they just go out into the world and do these surveys, you know, in the malls or on the telephone, that kind of thing, and not necessarily into the churches to ask. But I'm going to ask you then to search your heart. If you were to make New Year's resolutions, or maybe you did, what were your New Year's resolutions, and were any of them based upon spiritual development? Were any of them something like, go to church more regularly? Read my Bible more regularly. Read my Bible every day. Spend time in prayer more. Or maybe just learn to trust God more. Just leave that with you. Think about it. What were your resolutions? As we head into this new year, we need to include God in every aspect of our lives, though, certainly as Christians, our marriage, our family, our children, our work, our play. God needs to be a part of all of it. So as we look at this text, this reading this morning, I want to share some points with you. We need to be ready, be careful, be thoughtful, and be thankful. First of all, we need to be ready. In verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." First of all, we have to have spiritual life to be ready. That's the most important thing. That's the most important message we want to get out as Christians, right? To be ready as a Christian means you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to be ready for when your time comes to leave this earth. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. More to Paul's point, to the saved, because Paul's writing to the churches, presumably writing to saved people. And I'm sharing it with you this morning, presumably to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, you need to do that today, this morning. You can do that. But for those of us that have, you see, we got a problem. A lot of believers are sleepwalking. They're not really involved in the game here. They've fallen asleep. Paul says we need to awake from our slumber. A lot of Christians have forgotten that we have a responsibility while we're left here upon this earth. That we, as Christians, need to grow spiritually for ourselves, but for the purpose also of reaching out to those around us with the gospel message, so that they can see that Christ makes a difference in our own life and can make a difference in their life also. You see, when we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, God didn't just automatically bring us to heaven. He left us here. And He left us here because we have a job to do. We have work to do. We have a responsibility. So we need to learn. Paul says we need to arise, actually, in verse 14. Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead. That word there used as arise can also be translated stand up. To stand up, to get on your feet. That's a position of readiness, of being ready. You get up in the morning and you stand on your feet and what? Do you just stay standing there by the bed? No, you go. You get up and go. A lot of Christians, they've awakened from their spiritual blindness, from their spiritual sleep, and they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've got on their feet, but that's it. They haven't gone anywhere. We need to stand up, arise, for the purpose of going, of getting moving under the Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of course, in our daily life. And in the right spiritual relation to the Lord, Christ will give us light. That's what Paul says at the end of the verse. Arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. He will lead us in the right direction. How many of you got a remote control device of some kind for Christmas? Anybody? No? A few? A few. How many of you have remote controlled devices? All of you. Especially for the TV, right? Because it's just way too difficult to get up and change the channel. I remember that was one of my designated duties as a child. Get up and change the channel. Click, 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 click. Remote controls now. Remote controlled TVs, remote controlled cars, remote controlled helicopters. What else? Remote control heaters. Now that might come in handy in the morning when it's cold. You don't have to get out of the bed yet. Any others? Remote control ceiling fan? I hadn't seen that one yet. That's a new one on me. They even have remote control video reality things now. You don't have one, man. But I'm saying they have it. There actually is such a thing. Well, you know, in a way, we as Christians are to be remotely controlled. And the problem is that we're not. The problem is we go about trying to do our own thing. You see, a remote is used to guide the device that is controlling. We are to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God in our daily life. But the problem is a lot of Christians have stopped paying attention to that control. They just go and do their own thing. Pleasing God, doing something with my life that pleases God on a daily basis, every day, what God wants? No, I'm just going to do what I want. Unfortunately, that's the attitude of a lot of Christians. But the beauty of Christianity is it's not even remote control, because the Holy Spirit isn't some outside force trying to guide us and control us and direct us. The Holy Spirit is an inside force. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And yet we're not listening to His guidance. Many Christians not listening. They're asleep. Paul says, awake, arise, get moving, of course, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And then we need to be careful. Be ready or be prepared and be careful. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be careful in the way that you live your life. We want to live our life wisely. Be wise. I think one of the biggest areas that Christians are being unwise today is in the use of their time. We are so guilty of wasting, I mean wasting, so much time in our lives. We need to be wise in the way that we use our time. And we need to give God more of our time. In the study of the Scriptures, in attending church regularly, in spending time in meditation of the Scriptures, and in spending time in prayer. Which is really just in spending time with God. We need to seek the Lord's will in all things. I said that God needs to be involved in all areas of our life. I've shared this before, but do you know how many of the scars on my body are self-inflicted wounds? Most of the scars on my body are from wounds that I have inflicted upon myself in various ways. I was running on a cellar door when I was a kid. Got several scars all at once. Because I fell and cut myself and had to have stitches and knocked my head on the porch and knocked myself out. I had to have stitches in my head also. Several scars right at the same time there. They're not very visible unless I'm exercising or I get hot, but I have scars on my face. I have scars all over my leg and my arm. That's all from a motorcycle wreck. Whose fault was that? I have to take ownership from that. I also busted up my thumb and had to have surgery. Now, I wasn't the one that made the incision, but whose fault is it the incision had to be made? Self-inflicted wound. Had to have pins in. One took off across my hand and it had to be taken out from the other side. Another scar. That's a whole other story. But, you know, that's my fault. Broken toes. Malformed toes because of dropping things on my feet, breaking my toes. Numerous cuts and scars all over my fingers. A few years ago, I stabbed my finger to the bone with a knife while fishing. Again, you know, my fault. I did it. Whole lot of scars. I got a new one Christmas morning. Taking the pan out of the oven. I was trying to do two or three things at once and almost dropped the pan. And I caught it. I caught the pan. So the food was saved. But I caught it against my arm. So now I have a new scar. It's a burn right here. Like a tattoo on my arm. But I did it to me. You know, the point I'm trying to make here is that a lot of the scars in our lives, whose fault are they? They're ours, aren't they? A lot of the scars, things that we've been through that have hurt us or that have been damaged to our lives, a lot of, I'm not saying all of them are, but a lot of them were our fault. Because we didn't listen to God. Because we didn't follow the instruction that He's given us to stay away from those things that He knows causes harm. We don't listen. We just want to go about doing our own thing. And we're not careful. God knows it causes scars. We need to be focused on the spiritual realm. Focus our spiritual lives upon the Lord. If we aren't properly prepared, or if we're not paying attention as we should be to the spiritual things, then we get out there in the world and we're vulnerable. And we will suffer for it. There will be scars. The scars of those mistakes can stick with you for the rest of your life. We don't have the right focus and the right attention. We need to be focused on heavenly things, not on worldly things. I mean, the world pushes this image, you know, that's materialistic. That what matters really is how much you can get or gain or what you have. And that's not what the focus should be. Our focus should be on spiritual things, heavenly things, not on earthly things. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Paul says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." There's a saying that says we can be too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. I think that's true of a whole lot of Christians, that they are too earthly minded, too focused on the worldly things and not focused nearly enough on spiritual things, on heavenly things. Now, there's the flip side of that where some people say you can be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. You don't need to worry about that, because so far I haven't met that person yet. I've met a lot of Christians that fit the first one, too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. But I've yet to meet one that's too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. We need a greater focus on spiritual things in our life. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves the children of God. You went to church this morning. Glad you did. It's where we need to be. But what about when you walk out of this building? Do you have one focus when you're here and another focus when you're away from this building? The church isn't a place, you see. The church isn't a building. You're the church. The people. We are the church, the body of Christ. And we need to act like it in our daily life, out in the world. God's given this book because He loves us, and the instructions in here are for us. The instructions to how to live are found within the pages of this book. He's equipped us for spiritual living in a material world. As I said, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Those who disregard His instruction often learn the hard way that God was right. Let's try as best we can not to have to go that road, not to go that route. There's a story of a truck driver who came up to a sign that said, road blocked ahead, take a detour. And the truck driver said, "Well, you know, running kind of late, I'm a busy man, I can probably make it through." And so he went on through, down the road. Went down the road, found out that the road was indeed blocked. And there was no way for him to get by. So he had to turn his rig around. Going back on the back side of the detour sign, it said, "Told you so." How many times has our spiritual life been that same experience? That there are road signs, you know, from the scriptures and from what we know, and the Holy Spirit's trying to stop us saying, "Don't take this road. This road is bad. This road will lead to scars," and we do it anyway. And then what do we find out? And we get to, "I told you so. God says, I told you not to go that way. I tried to stop you." Not because God is some evil taskmaster, but because God loves us. He doesn't want us to suffer that pain and endure those scars. Be ready. Be careful. Careful in the way that you live your life, especially, I'm saying to you, in the way that you use your time. And then be thoughtful. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Using the time. Best way we can use our time out in the world is in service for others and helping others. Not for ourselves, not so that we look good, but for who? What's that? Doing it for the Lord. Not for ourselves, not so that we look good, but doing it for the Lord. So that we can be a witness and a testimony for Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at a few verses right quick. Let's play Bible drill. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. Paul says whether you eat, I mean, there's a whole context here, but we're just going to look at some verses. Paul says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. That's the purpose of the Christian. What is the meaning of life? How many times have you heard that question? And people ponder it, and people come up with all kinds of philosophical answers. Hey, for the Christian, the meaning of life is simple. We are here to bring glory to God. That's the meaning of our life. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Here Paul says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. We are free, right? Christ has purchased a freedom from us, for us. Excuse me. We are free. We've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but for what? But by love, serve one another. Doing things for other people. The service that we perform is to be based in the freedom that Christ has secured for us. Because He's done so much for us, we ought to be willing to reach out and do things for others to help them in the name of the Lord, bringing glory to God, right? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ, by the way? What's that? It's a four-letter word, the law of Christ. Love. What is the greatest commandment? They ask him. And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. But there's another one just like it also, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's the law of Christ when it boils down to it. It's the law of love. Reach out to other people in love. Bear one another's burdens. Help them. When someone is down, when they're suffering, reach out and bear the burden with them. Because in the body of Christ, when one suffers, what? All suffer. We're all to suffer together. Just as much as when one glories, we're all to have joy together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us what? Do good to all believers. I don't see enough heads saying, no, that's not what it says. Do good for who? All men, everybody. Don't grow weary in well-doing. As we have opportunity, reach out and do good for all men. Now, especially to them in the household of faith, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we ought to have a heart of compassion for everybody. Because you're a Christian, right? And you have a message to share, and you want to share that message. What's the best way to share that message? To go get in their face real close and start talking? No, yeah. The best way to share that message is by the way you live. The best way to share that message is to reach out to them and bear the burden with them. Because you've heard it before, but it's true. People don't care what you know, what? Until they know that you care. Reach out in love to those around you. Finally, Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Here Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, our works, our good things that we do, aren't to bring us salvation. We already got that, right? Ooh, you're concerning me here. Our works isn't to bring us salvation. We already got that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's much better. Thank you. I was getting concerned. You already got salvation, and it wasn't because of works. It was because of God's grace, right? And our access to God's grace is by faith. But what does verse 10 say? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For the purpose of good works. As Christians, we are Christians now, and we are God's workmanship, created in Christ We are placed in Him, and we are to be doing what? Good works. Unto, for the purpose of good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Instead of being self-centered in our life, as so many people are today, and Christians fall into that same trap of being self-centered, we need to be Christ-centered. We need to be reaching out in His name, focused on spiritual things and thoughtful toward the way that we live our life toward other people. And finally, we need to be thankful. Verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be thankful. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, it didn't say in the verse to be thankful. There's nothing there about that. Well, yeah, that's covered in the Lord's will for us. The Lord's will is that we be thankful. It says that several times in the Scriptures. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. In verse 20, what? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful will have an impact on your life. I guarantee it. Again, it's that focus. What's our attitude in our daily life? If you're thankful, you're going to be a different kind of person than one who is not thankful. Just as a general survey, just off the top of your head, do you think people are more rude today than they were 30 years ago?
Yes.
Out in society?
Yes.
Man, I see it all the time. You think people are less thankful today than they were 30 years ago?
Yes.
You think there's a connection?
Yes.
I do. I think there's a real connection. And I think as people have less and less interest in spiritual things, they're also less and less thankful. You know, that was the problem that Paul said about man in Romans chapter 1. He says they knew God, but they were not what? Thankful. We're not thankful. And then we see where that led. And three times after that, Paul says that God gave them up. Actually, twice God gave them up, and the third time God gave them over to their own desires. Because they were not thankful. What about customer service when you go out to eat or go out shopping? You spend your money in support of that business, and many times you don't even get a simple thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day. I don't particularly like to be told what kind of day I should have. I think that's up to me. But no, I'm just joking. This is one of those weird personality things for me. But they act almost like you owe them something. I was here to do this for you today. Be sure and thank me for being here. Yeah, but I'm paying your paycheck here. You should thank me for spending my money, right? I mean, how rude of them to not even say thank you for what I'm doing for them. And yet, many Christians are the same way. I mean, we know that the world is that way, right? But unfortunately, many Christians are the same way toward God. God has given us so much, and He does so much for us on a daily basis, and we're not even thankful for it. We don't even thank God for all that He's done for us. We need to be thankful. We need to not make that mistake that they made in Romans chapter 1 in being unthankful, because we see where it leads. As a positive, thankful person, you will have a great witness for the Lord in this day and age in which we live. I guarantee it. People will see a difference in you. And that is the Lord's will for us. Turn forward a few pages. Philippians chapter 2. Seems like in our society today, a lot of people just want to complain. They just want to complain about stuff. They're not happy unless they have something to complain about. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. We get the picture of little kids, right? We tell them to do stuff and they, you know. But you know, we as adults, we're just as bad. We need to be thankful, positive attitude, instead of murmuring and disputing, talking back, arguing. 1 Thessalonians. Turn forward a few more pages from Philippians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 18. We could back up to verse 16, since we're talking about attitude. Paul says, verse 16, rejoice evermore. You know, there's a difference between joy and happiness, because happiness depends on what happens. But joy is based in God. It's based in our spiritual life. Rejoice evermore. Have joy all the time. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, what? Give thanks. Why? I told you it was in the will of God that we are to give thanks. Dale Robbins, who is a physician dealing with people's mental health, he said this: I used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It only amplifies frustration and spreads discontent and discord and can invoke an invitation for the devil to wreak havoc in that person's life. See, because it's an attitude. It's a mental process. We need to be thankful. Complaining just makes us miserable. We need to be thankful. Here we are in a new year. First Sunday of the new year. First day of the new year. How are you going to approach this year? Well, if you didn't make some resolutions, it's not too late. Not too late to do so. How about starting today, we make some resolutions? Be ready. If you're not ready, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's the time to do so. And then once you do, we need to be careful. We need to be careful in the way that we live our life. We need to be wise in the way that we're living our life, particularly in the way that we're spending our time. Be careful how you're using your time. And then be thoughtful. Reach out to others, because that's our purpose. That's why we were left here. We're supposed to be doing good works, created in Christ unto good works. So be thoughtful, reach out to other people, and then be thankful. I guarantee you there's things for you to be thankful about every day of your life. Don't forget to go to God and thank Him for all that He's doing and has done for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we had to look into Your Word this morning. We thank You for the challenge in these few simple verses, because we know that we are creatures of habit and we can become complacent in our spiritual life. Just pray that each of us are realizing this morning that that's a dangerous attitude to have, that we need not be complacent. We need to be challenged. We need to be focusing upon spiritual things and focusing upon our purpose. Just pray that as we leave here this morning, that we don't leave this message behind, but that we continue to contemplate on it throughout this week, to meditate on it and to pray about it, and to allow the Holy Spirit to actually make the change in our life that He desires to make, knowing that that's why we're indwelled by Him, is to conform us into the very image and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer and give it the praise. Amen.